Praise the Lord. God is good. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, being allowed to gather together in the name of Jesus Christ. He is so faithful to us. It's good to see so many old and new faces in the house of the Lord this morning. We do live in strange times, as you know. You can just look at the news, see the strange things that's happening in the world, and you think, my God, whatever's going on, what's happening in the world today? How are we at this place? How do we come to change so far away from the belief in the one true and living God to be in the state that we are today? But you know, it's what the Bible says will happen. Let me just tell you something. I'm not that worried about the world. The world's going to hell in a handcart anyway. We just need to get them saved. I'm not worried what's happening in the world. What I'm really worried about is happening in the Church of Jesus Christ. The Word of God can save the lost. That's not a problem. Our problem this morning is that the world doesn't get into the church. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, and I'm not preaching about this morning, but it says, do not anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first, or the great falling away. A great falling away. To fall away from something, you have to be there in the beginning. And not about you, but you look around your church and where you live and the places where you worship, and you see so many people and you think, you know, they were in the convention last year, but I don't think they're a Christian no more. Sometimes you're even frightened to ask if they're serving the Lord or they're walking to church, because they come and they go. So I want to ask us a question this morning. And I think we need to ask ourselves this question. Why so many backsliders? Why so many backsliders? And okay, that's a question that we can ask, but also we have to look at ourselves in this morning. Where do I stand? We'll be coming around the Lord's table shortly, and where that'll be to judge ourselves. Where do we stand before the living God? You see, it's not just about an outward sign. You already know that. For those who has been saved a while, you know it's not about the outside. It's not about just, you know, what you say sometimes, and it's about the inside. The Bible says in Psalm 51 that God desires truth in the inner parts. He wants to see that truth inside of our heart, not just putting our hand up or being a churchgoer. And with that in mind, I want to read the scripture this morning. We're going to look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 13. You can read with me. I'm going to read it out. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Let's just pray and ask the Lord to speak to us this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we're allowed to meet together. I pray you take your precious anointed word, my God, and you speak to our hearts and our lives, my God. Lord God, that you'd, Lord, change us and let us be made and found in your likeness. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So this is probably one of the most well-known parables of them all, really. One that you would have even known before you were a Christian. Maybe you learned in school. I remember seeing the pictures on the wall in school. But Jesus uses a parable to show a great truth. He makes it in simple language. He makes it in layman's language. He shows them a picture to explain something, a great truth. And so he says about this sower that sows the seed. He says the seed is the word of God. He says, but some falls on the path. Some falls on the path. Now, obviously, when Jesus was talking about that, he stood on the edge of the Sea of Galilee, and you see all these mountains around, you see these little paths everywhere where the shepherds would walk, and they'd downtrodden where they'd go from one town to the next, and there was nothing that can grow on a path. It's wore out, it's wore down, it's rock solid. The seed cannot penetrate the soil, and so it's gone. It's on a rocky ground. See, the ground has not been plowed up. It's hard rock. The Bible says this in the book of Jeremiah. Declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces is the word of God. You see, it's the word of God that will break up the hard ground. So many people will come into a meeting like this and so on, and they hear the word of God, but it falls on the hard ground because they have no understanding, they have no comprehension. The word hasn't sunk deep into the heart. They haven't heard the gospel at all, and it falls on a hard place. And the Bible says that Satan comes along and eats it away. You see, that two things we should learn there, me and you. If you've talked to people about God, you spread that word in the heart and there's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing there. There's no penetration. There's no, it seems like it's just bouncing off the walls. Let me just tell you something. Keep on preaching the gospel to them. Keep on preaching. That's the word that breaks up that ground. The Bible says it's a hammer that breaks up the rock. So keep preaching the gospel to them, even if they're hardened to the gospel. Even if you think they'll never saved, they're the worst people, or they're people that don't care, or they're anti-Christian. Doesn't matter about that. It's the word of God will break down that hard heart of a man and woman. So you're not relying on your wisdom. You're not relying on how good of a speaker you are. You're not relying on how good of a person you are. You're relying on the word of God, and the word of God will do its word. It will do its work in our heart and our lives. So keep on preaching the gospel. Keep on telling people to repent from the sin. Keep on telling people of the judgment of sin. Keep on telling them the mercy of God and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And upon repentance and faith that they can be saved. Don't think that they'll never hear. Let God's word do its work in a person's life. Continue to preach the gospel. If you've got family that's so anti-gospel, keep on preaching the word. Keep on preaching the word. That word will penetrate into their hearts. You see, they can't get saved. Nobody can get saved until you know that you are lost. When you realize that you're lost, there's a chance you can be saved. All the time that they think they're okay, it's just like water just dancing off glass. Nothing, there'll be no penetration. But as God breaks in that rock to pieces with his word, and that word stands to infiltrate into people's hearts, they'll learn one thing, that they're a sinner before the living God. That's what the word of God, it brings conviction of the Holy Spirit as it pierces the heart and it points away to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me just tell you something. We have to be broken. We have to be broken. Our lives need to be broken before that word can touch and change our hearts and our lives. And then it says that the seed is thrown among the rocky places. Now, the first one, the path was the devil, but it's nothing about the devil now. This is the work in a man's heart, and this is themselves. It says that the seed is thrown on rocky places. It has no root, and it quickly withers and dies. And what is that? Well, it's a picture for many people that you see in your meetings on a Sunday night where the gospel is preached. You know, just think about it. Over the last year, if all the people that put their hand up in a meeting and walked forward to give their life to the Lord, how big would your church be? You wouldn't have the space, would you? But sadly, that isn't the case. And because the seed falls in rocky places, and it's like this. They're happy. They quickly put their hand up in a meeting, but there's no depth. There's no depth. There's no root. It's easy. It's not relying on Jesus. To have faith in Jesus Christ that will grow, you need to have faith in Jesus no matter what happens. Relying on Jesus no matter what happens. And so you see, so many people, that the word goes in their heart is like a rocky place. It's based on emotions. It's based on a lifestyle. It's based on their idea what Jesus is, not a biblical idea. And that's why we have so many people, what we call backsliders, but really they've never known the Lord. Many of us talk about, please God, bring our children back to the Lord. What they need is get saved. They never knew the Lord anyway. And there's so many people in our family, and you know, sometimes you look at them and you doubt this. You know why? It's because they're not really saved. It's based on what their idea of Jesus is. And this can be me and your fault many times. That we present the wrong Jesus, not the biblical Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible, but a Jesus that says, come on, you're okay. He loves you. Oh yeah, great truths. Come to church. Put your hand up, say a prayer. Let me just tell you something. It needs that piercing of the heart, that conviction of the Holy Spirit, that the Word of God can come in and bear fruit in our hearts and our lives. You see, the Bible says that they quickly fall away when trouble or persecution comes. You see, as soon as somebody says, oh, are you a Christian? They hang their head. Or persecution comes and their family mock them, or people mock them, or their own friends mock them. Quickly, they lower their heads and say, no, not me. Because there's no real depth or root. Their foundation isn't based on Jesus. It's based on emotion. It's based on a feeling. It's based on a lifestyle commitment. It's not the biblical Jesus. So many people are emotionally Christians, but they're not saved. They're emotionally, oh, they want the Jesus. They want to lift their hands and they want to pray. And they like the conventions and the missions in the churches, but they're not really saved. It's just a lifestyle that they want. And that's a sad, sad thing and day. That we have people among us, and I didn't think it would ever happen, but it does. That they come and they'll break bread. They'll go on the bus to go evangelizing, but they've never really met the Lord. When persecution comes, you see them. They were there once at the front of the church doing something great. The next time you see them, they're in the world. Somebody's pushed them over. Somebody said something. Somebody's done something. Somebody's upset them. What happens? They're back in the world because there's no foundation. It's not based upon Jesus. It's based on an emotion or a feeling. Now, number three says this. That was seed among the thorns. Seed among the thorns. Now in the Bible, thorns are a sign of the fall. What I mean the fall is what happened when sin came into the world. The Bible says that thorns and thistles came. Before the fall, before when creation was perfect, there was no thorns and thistles. But after sin came, there was thorns and thistles. And here it says that the seed falls among the thorns. They hear the word and they accept it. But the worries of life choke it. The deceitfulness of wealth destroy it. And this is where we are today with so many so-called Christians who love Jesus, but they desire other things. So many Christians who would lift their hands this morning and say, yes, I love Jesus, but their desire isn't God. Their desire is the things of this world. Their desire are the things of the person that they look at, that they're jealous of. Let me just tell you something this morning. For me and you this morning, unless our desire is Jesus Christ, then we are following a false God this morning. The Bible says it's idolatry. When we put anything in front of our worship to God, it's idolatry. The worries of this life. We're all going to have worries. It's part of this world, part of the fallen world that we live in. We're going to have worries. We're going to have people that's going to die. We're going to have people that's going to have sicknesses. We're going to have tragedies in our life. And we're going to have worries, the Bible says. But he says, take heart, I've overcome the world. You see, what we are looking at, we're looking at the problems and we're not looking to Jesus Christ. If we look to Jesus Christ this morning, it can take us through the problems in life. I'm not going to say he's going to take your problems away, We can take us through the problems in life. Let me just tell you something. I'd rather walk through a problem with Jesus than try and walk around by myself. This morning, let me just tell you something. We need to be people that will not let go of any with any circumstances. We would not let go of Jesus Christ. We will be fixed on him. We will hold his hand. We will not let go because we know he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. The deceitfulness of wealth. The deceitfulness of wealth. It's a sad thing today that wealth deceives us. You see, we've become now a people that are centered on what we have and not who we have. We're centered on what we can get, not know who we have already. We're looking outside of the Church of Jesus Christ for satisfaction. And let me just tell you something. Only the true peace can be found in Jesus Christ. But so many of us are running after the things of this world and ignoring the things of God. I don't mind anybody having things. That's not a problem. It's when the things have the men and women of God. It doesn't matter about the world. It doesn't matter that they're killing themselves trying to get rich or killing themselves with pleasures of this world. It doesn't matter about them. It matters about me and you this morning. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. Do not be deceived by wealth. Don't think that it's your strength. Don't think that it's your portion. Don't think that it's your protection, because it's not. It's deceitful wealth. There's only one true protector, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. See, our desire for other things, that's what the Bible says. It's our desire for other things that will kill and choke the Word of God in our lives. The Bible says the seed that fell on good soil bears fruit 30, 60, and 100 times fold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, that was in Mark's gospel. If you look to in Luke's gospel, you'll see the explanation that he gives on the same parable. In Luke 8:15, it says, "But the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who, having the word, have heard the word with an honest and good heart, hold on to it, and by enduring it, bear fruit." I just want to look at that last line. Those who hold on to it. You see, holding on to the Word of God, holding on to Jesus, means this: that in no matter what circumstances or how you feel or what people say, you put Jesus Christ first. That's what it means to hold on to God. It means that you're putting him as Christ in your life. His as Lord. You know, we say, "Lord, Lord, you are my Lord." It means that you're my everything. You're the one that's my boss. You're the one that I take my orders from. You're the one that I follow. No matter how you feel, and no matter what people say, or no matter what sickness or death you go through, you put Jesus Christ first. That's what bears fruit in our lives. All things become hard. Why do you think people leave Jesus and go back into sin? It's because of this, that you still have another God. That's why so many people fall into sin and go back into the world, because they still have another God. Their God isn't Jesus Christ, because if God was Jesus Christ to them, they would not let go. And the Bible says that they would bear fruit. But they have another God. Never mind about judging everybody else. That's me and you judge ourselves right now. Who is our God this morning? Who is the one that we follow? Who is the one that we aim for? Are we building our own kingdom, or are we building God's kingdom this morning? It's because they still have another God. Money, pleasure, and sin. The Bible says these are our gods if we don't put Jesus Christ first. Then it says in that Luke's gospel at the end, it says, "For those who endure." For those who endure. Now, I want to read the word, but it's the Greek meaning of the word, so it doesn't matter important. But it breaks it down a little bit easier to understand, the word endure. It means this: the characteristics of a person who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith. He has not swerved from his deliberate purpose, something you've set out to do, something you're deliberately going to do, and you're not swerved by continuing on that road. That means to endure. And that's what me and you have to do if we want to bear fruit. The Bible says here that he who endures, he who holds, is the one that will bear fruit. So are we going to endure this morning? It means endure through the things that this world will give, the things that this world will tempt, the things that people will say and do to you, the situation that you will go through in this life. Have you decided to follow Jesus? No turning back. No turning back. We've sang about it for years. It's time for us to start living it. That we follow Jesus and we don't turn back. And so that last line says that those who hold, those who endure, bear fruit. Now, the word really is linked more than we understand it. It means if you hold and endure, you will bear fruit. Those are the ones that bear fruit. It's like if something happens. Because if you plant a seed in good soil and you water it and the sun goes up, you know what happens? It produces fruit. And that's what happens when me and you, when we hold on and we endure, we produce fruit. It's an automatic thing. Would you like to bear fruit this morning? I know I want to bear fruit, not only in my characteristics. I want to be changed. I want to love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. I want all of them things, but I also want to bear fruit in my ministry. I want to see people saved. I want to see the fruit of my ministry. I want to see the fruit of me preaching. I want to see the fruit of my living, like me and you should this morning. We want to bear much fruit, that our families can be saved, that our people can be saved. Don't take your eye from the goal, Jesus Christ. Him and him alone this morning is going to save you. Him and him alone is going to keep you. And him alone will bear fruit in your life. We need to keep him first and foremost in every area of our lives, especially the day we live in. Because the Bible says that there is a great falling away. Will you keep your eyes on the goal? Will you look? Will you endure? Will you hold fast? Well, I'll tell you what will happen. You will bear fruit. Because God is not a liar. God is the truth. This morning, if you'll hold fast to him, if you'll endure through hardships, if you'll keep your testimony when all else fails, you'll bear fruit. Not only in the characteristics of your life, but you'll see your people saved, you'll see your family saved, you'll see your neighbors saved. You will bear fruit in and throughout your life and in your ministry. Why? Because God is faithful. It's his word that does the work. It's not me and you. We just stand, we endure, we preach, we live, we change. But his word changes us. This morning, will you allow God to change your life? Will you allow God to change your life? Well, endure. Hold on. Jesus is coming soon. Let's pray this morning and ask the Lord to help us. Hallelujah.